Hello and welcome to Don't Be All Like Uncool, a very Bravo podcast. I'm here with my lovely friend and co-host Alex Brand. Hello, Alex.
Hello, Elizabeth. How's it going?
It's going. I'm also joined by my lovely sister and upstairs neighbor. Hello from the lower level, Miss Julia Baker.
Hello from the upper level, Elizabeth.
Hello. I'm so happy you guys are here joining me. And first, I want to get into what brought you to Bravo? How did we get here? Alex, I know you have quite the journey.
Yes. Well, I'm a huge fan of Cash Cab. no, actually, it's weird. I'm probably weirder than that. I was perusing the channels, came across a show called Relationship, which is a one-season Bravo show about Shep Rose from Southern Charm. Watched all of it. Thought it was like the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. That led, of course, to watching Southern Charm. Thought that was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. Everyone who I tried talking to about Southern Charm was like, why are you watching this? You should watch good Bravo shows. And then just like, so that led to me watching Vanderpump Rules. And every subsequent Bravo show I've watched since has just topped the last. So I got to thank Shep Rose for
your gateway drug.
Yes. So, Alex, would you say you started at D-list Bravo? Where do you think you are now?
Well, yeah, I guess. I mean, Shep's more of a C student. He's like the George Bush of Bravo, I guess.
All right. We're making our way up towards the good years then. I think we had some wonderful Bravo viewing this week. We'll get into that in a little bit. So, Julia, you're our Bravo aficionado, but you were brought to Bravo, like Alex, in an unusual way.
Well, I have been watching reality TV since TLC was the first producers of, like, Trading Spaces and A Baby Story. And then I started watching Toddlers and Tiaras and felt uncomfortable watching four-year-olds prance around. So I traded it for 50-year-olds prancing around, and that was the Real Housewives of New York, and I've been with them ever since.
Julia served as my shaman into the Bravo world in a very deep and dark place.
Julia's a friend, a neighbor, yes. A sister. A shaman.
A shaman. She's a Bravo aficionado. She brought me to Roni, and I had never seen anything quite like it. And I'm going to get into it in a little bit, but Roni, it's ruined other reality TV. I used to be a Bachelor fan, and I don't know if I can go back to other reality TV shows. I think that the Bravo production value is so high. I just love it so
much. Bachelor is very time-consuming, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm not a fan. I don't need to watch 3 hours in two parts.
Because I watched it like one season a couple of years ago, and it was a huge commitment. It felt like more of a commitment than the commitment I've made to this podcast watching like five Bravo shows.
I know. And you watch something like Roni, you watch something like Potomac, and it's just going, going, going. Beverly Hills. But... there's some Bravo.
You haven't watched the beginning of Beverly Hills.
All right.
I feel like I must make a disclaimer about myself, too, before we start. Okay. I am the definite Bravo baby of the podcast. The toddler in a tiara of the three, I'd say.
No!
Is that fair to say? Or the Leah of the three?
Huh? All right, the Leah of the three. Okay.
That's a little more kind to yourself than in tiaras.
Alex, you've really gotten into Bravo within the last couple months, right? I mean, you've gotten into it, but it's been a
that's
short
right. Well, before
time.
The quarantine started, I had seen all of Southern Charm. Then I finished Vanderpump during quarantine. And now I have like a scattered knowledge of Housewives, but I've watched episodes from like most of them. I'm all over the place.
I'm learning. So I'm about to hit my year birthday with Bravo. So I'm also not a baby, but I'm in my preteen years.
I wish I knew when I saw a relationship. I wish I had a Bravo age. I'm probably like 3 years old, I guess.
Okay. And Julia, how old are you both in Bravo years and Bachelor years?
I'm not going to tell you my real age, but I'm 8 years old in Bravo. I'm mature. Okay.
Julia's a sister, a shaman, a grandma.
Yeah, a Bravo historian, Wikipedia page owner. No, I'm kidding. We're getting there, though. All right. So, speaking of babies, one that has been conceived but has not yet been delivered, Salt Lake City. When I first heard this was coming out, I thought, nope, I don't need that. I don't. And then I watched the few promos we have been given. And
two.
Oh my goodness. I have questions.
I might have answers. I don't know. I've done a lot of research on their Bravo bios, mostly. I also followed all of them on Instagram.
All right, Julia, let's hear it. What's your initial thought?
My initial thought was disappointed not to get just like another scripted Big Love, which like at first I was like all excited about.
Oh, yeah.
But I will take this. It's probably a little more appropriate. And these are probably the ladies who would in fact go on Bravo. So I don't know. I love them all. I guess we can just start.
You love them all?
I love them all. I am committed to all of them. Lisa, I think, is going to be like the lead because she went to BYU with Heather and she's best friends with Meredith. She owns a tequila brand called Viva Tequila, which supposedly is on Southern Wine and Spirits, but I could not find it there.
If we find it, there shall be a tasting.
But what I've noticed about all these women is like Bravo housewives start all their brands post Bravo, trying to get a little extra money out of their fame. These women have come in with these businesses.
So we're not talking Stassi and her wine.
No, there's no Witches of WeHo. There's no Ramona Grigio. There's no toaster oven. There's just.
Like, no Century 21.
No Century 21.
I know. Rest in peace, Century 21.
So we have Aviva Tequila. We have a spa and laser center owner. We also have a actually legit jewelry designer. Julianne Moore wears this woman's jewelry. Her name's Meredith. And then Courtney Cox wears her jewelry. She has a website. And this jewelry is like high-end. It's like in like... the $1,000
on the domain. Legit.
It's legit. So these women are coming in with careers.
Yes.
Could be. There's also a skincare line.
I think this is an excellent time. Julia, can you answer this question? My first question was they're really putting an emphasis on the religions and how different all the religions are. A huge chunk of Mormonism, which they mention, is not consuming alcohol. In the state of Utah, you can't get more than, I think, an ounce of and a half of hard liquor in a drink if you're in a bar. You can't buy certain alcohols at all in grocery stores. Their liquor laws are pretty intense. So I'm confused, number one, how they're going to keep up the Bravo debauchery with these alcohol limits. And number two, like, how is this going to tie in with the religion? I think it's going to be very interesting, to say the least.
Well, I think Lisa Barlow has solved the alcohol problem by starting Viva Tequila, her own alcohol brand. So I'm not worried about that at all. And then also we have Heather Gray, who is the spa and laser center owner. And they spend most of their time at the spa. If you notice how all the previews, they are all
all in outdoor tubs.
Yes, outdoor I just wrote tub. Mad in a bath? Question mark. Like there were so many angry bath scenes.
I mean, they're pruned and ready to go. So, I think that it's gonna be a-okay. Also, we have a lot of like Mormon-ish people.
Yeah.
Heather Gray says that she's a good Mormon gone bad and calls herself Mormonish. And then Mary Cosby is not Mormon, and she has on her Insta page quotes like, destroy what will destroy you, and there's beauty in the mess. So I feel like we're going to be getting a lot of good.
Well,
I think
from the trailers that I saw, I didn't even like, aside from a few like choice quotes about them being Mormon, I would not have been able to tell that they were Mormon and lived
by no religion, except for like the weird generic pan shots of like temples. I agree, Alex.
They all seem to be doing, I mean, in the trailer, because there's only a couple previews out right now. I didn't do the deep bio digging that Julia did.
It seemed like
a pretty typical housewife show from what I saw.
I think even one of the more wild housewife shows, just comparing to, like, again, I'm a Beverly Hills hater. Like, this season of Beverly Hills versus what we saw in that preview, we have, like, affairs, we have... I don't even know.
Someone says something like, if she wasn't your friend, I would like literally murder her.
She would take her out back.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's darkness under the crust. Great quote from the preview.
No, it was not.
There's like crust? Under the beautiful crust. There's, I'm paraphrasing, but crust is in there.
My favorite quote is, you can't buy my tits because my plastic surgeon is retired.
I did really like that. I'm excited. It does seem pretty messy, and I don't know if it's going to be like beautiful, genuine messy, or if it's going to be feel like kind of forced. Because, you know, sometimes when
if it's sober messy, it could be the most fascinating Bravo show that's ever come out.
I'm excited for it.
I'm excited.
It's like opening a new pair of shoes or something. You're just like,
you sniff them.
A baby be born.
You breathe them in.
Sniff them. It's a new car smell. There's six women we don't know. They actually genuinely know each other in real life.
So there's not going to be like three episodes of them have like leading like their own lives to open the series, and then coincidentally meeting
like my new friend that Jared, the producer, just introduced me to.
Which we'll talk about with Aroni later, which is so funny.
It's so funny. All right, are we ready to move on to the most wild episode of Potomac?
What a way for me to watch the show for the first time. I'm thrown in immediately to, like, what you watch Bravo for.
Oh, yes. Like, right off the get. You came on the second, edition of a To Be Continued episode.
That's right. I had no context for what I jumped into, and I loved it. Still, that's the beauty of Bravo.
I have context, and I still have no idea how we got there. But I do have to say, if you own a tasting room, whether it's wine or cider, and Bravo comes up to you and say, hey, we have this franchise, it's called Real Housewives, and we want to film there, know that everything you have, it will be broken, all of your other guests will be terrified. Put out plastic cups. We had this season, Roni, Dorinda just ripping Tinsley apart. We had this Potomac fight. Maybe tasting rooms, not a good choice.
I love it when they bring out the server and he's like trying to present his restaurant.
Don't care.
Like,
they don't care, baby.
I know, or like a chef goes and thanks them for patroning him. It's like, oh, honey.
I don't. He's standing there while they're screaming, like holding a tray.
The sequence, that beginning, the end of that opening sequence where Monique is like, running through the darkness.
Oh my gosh.
That was unlike any Bravo sequence I've ever seen. There was no music. It was just like a static shot of her running outside, like a horror.
A little of her running.
And I immediately, again, no context, was like, this is the best Housewives I've ever seen. It's really letting moments live. There's no music. There's like you hear all the sounds happening. It was really letting me into this world. An anthropological study, as Andy Cohen said, on the most recent Roni, has never been more of an apt way to describe what I witnessed in the first 5 minutes alone of this one.
You can hear her microphone like brushing against her clothes, and then you can hear the footsteps of the producers trying to intercept her, getting louder and louder. Oh, it's so good.
And she's like, get out of my way. I'm going to go through the side door. And he just lets her go. I love.
She screams, "I'm gonna kill her!"
And then he's like, "Okay."
Good shit.
I do love when we get to see the behind the scenes. I love a good PA. I love a good boom in a shot. And this was all of that. It was so
immediately the
good.
Whole crew rushes out.
Oh, and Eric was insane. The co-executive producer who goes, please, baby, it's about safety to Candace to get her in the car. Eric is my hero. He's the best PA. Put that guy on camera every time.
Was that a PA that did that?
I thought it was a producer.
Oh, no, it was an executive producer. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Julie's really lowering.
A PA, yeah. Come on, baby.
I gave him a casting role. I don't see how I'm lowering him at all. He was beautiful, baby, get in that car.
That fight was definitely, like, it wasn't about the bonfire. It wasn't about, I don't know what it was about.
Oh, you don't? It's about Candace
the trainer. Being...
Yeah, it's about the trainer.
Okay.
Candace and Charisse, who is a alum of Potomac, they spread a rumor about Monique having an affair with her trainer. Which I would say there's no truth to, except the way Monique's reacting to this rumor is giving it a little bit... She's just putting too much energy into it.
Yeah, it's kind of like the lady doth protest too much.
She's too upset about it. Yeah, I think... I wouldn't say there's no there, because there's certainly something there. But I don't understand why Monique is considered the most dangerous one, though she did scream, I'm going to kill her, as she's running in the dark. But leading up to this, Candace pulled out her knife several times, and Dr. Wendy had to take the knife out of Candace.
The flailing of the knife.
Several times. And this is not the first time Candace has, like, had a butter knife in her hand and thrown it at someone. So we know that Candace uses knives as a deadly weapon.
I can't wait to watch this whole show.
Oh, it's so good.
Throw weapons.
So I think that Candace is equally to blame, if not more so, because she's holding a knife. Knife gets taken away. Picks up another knife. That knife gets taken away. Then when Monique grabs her hair, Candace takes her wine glass, throws it in Monique's face. Oh. It breaks. And then she's crafting this weapon of a broken wine glass in her face so much it cuts her lip, and everyone's like, Monique, how dare you grab her wine?
I'm gonna respectfully disagree, because when I watched that back, Alex is loving it, when I watched it back, it looked like there was the hair flip, and then when they kind of go closer to each other, it looks like Dr. Wendy is going to reach. She bumps the wine, and that's when the bumps the arm, and then the wine spills on Monique's face. That's what I felt like I saw. Of course, I wouldn't. His testimony's not reliable.
The broken wine glass really has me on Monique's side here.
Oh, thank you.
No, I'm Candace all the way. The women are Team Candace.
Spreads a cheating rumor. Uses two weapons in a fight: knife, broken wine glass. And then everyone's like Giselle and Robin are first to be like, Monique, that crazy person.
And I don't know Candace that well yet, but her little speech about how it's a bad reflection of them post-fight felt pretty insincere.
Really? I felt so bad. I felt so bad for her in that moment.
Candace said, I don't want to put my hands on people. And... in her defense,
she didn't
put her hands on anyone.
That's why you bring a knife, Julia.
And a broken wine glass.
Do you know who the worst person is in Potomac?
Having no context?
Yes. Yes. It's not a wife, if that helps.
It's a husband?
Yeah.
No.
Is it Ashley's? I don't even know what the relationship really is.
It's
her like
husband.
Baby daddy? It's her husband? Okay, is it him?
Never mind. No, that's not even who I was going to say. I forgot. It's a three-way tie. There are the men in this show are just garbage. I feel like we don't really get to see husbands very often, like Beverly Hills, like Pepper Roman, Roni. There are no men's, so. But this show, the way that Monique's husband talks about her and like their sex life is disgusting. Michael, Ashley's husband, disgusts me.
But a clear number one.
Oh, clear. Okay, he's way ahead. But also, Mr. Pastor Hypocrite Jamal.
That guy is so funny. Pops hates him.
Good, me too, yeah. Pops. He's gross. Okay, so when he says like, oh, Giselle, I want to get you back. He's acting like he is doing her a favor by spending time with his daughters. And that leads me to my huge problem with the legality behind Julia, you're our business owner of the pod, our token business owner. Can a 13-year-old own a restaurant? I want to say no.
Oh, I think he's put something like there's a trust for them or something where they get the restaurant. But like, honestly, I love those three girls. I think they were such good sports to like at an opening have to shadow someone. Like some girls would have like sat there in their little booth and like, you know, princess waved as people congratulated them. They were there taking orders and sitting people at table number 12. And I just
they were ready to learn for sure.
Such good sports about it. Like, will they ever work in the restaurant after
that?
No. But I think those girls have really good heads on their shoulders. One, they don't really love their mom with their dad and, you know, sound
judgment.
Reason
one, number one, why I love them. I adore those girls.
I love those girls. You can say nothing bad about them.
No, they're perfect.
I think Jamal gifted the restaurant to them to kind of try to, like, butter up Giselle.
100%.
I meant to Google after this, but do we know how many kids the pastor actually has?
No.
It's a mystery.
But he's generous with all of them. So apparently there's several restaurants. They all got a restaurant.
But the pastor, it doesn't seem like he's interested in his daughters at all. It all feels like a show for Giselle. And I think the daughters know that. The fact that, I think it was Karen who said, like, I thought that, or maybe it was Giselle, I always thought that, you know, kids of divorce would want their parents to get back together. The fact that your daughters are like, Mom, no, that should be a huge red flag.
They love their dad, but they, like, I don't think they trust him with their mom.
He's a little shit.
Best moment of the episode is when it's Giselle, the pastor, and Pops at the booth in the restaurant.
I love that.
And she goes, oh, I was talking to my dad, and he's totally cool with us getting back together. And it cuts to her dad, like, stoic and not saying anything. And then he gets up and leaves and then chooses to confide in, like, a PA.
I hate that guy.
I hate that guy. I'm out of here.
He didn't show up to their first wedding.
Which is not going to show up the second.
No. He promised her he'd walk her down the aisle the second time.
Maybe something about that little meal they shared, though, at the end there, I think, just totally turned him. I think just seeing him again.
He saw Jamal and remembered.
I think, okay, I understand giving them a restaurant, very cool, but it's weird to me that he was like, okay, I have these 13 and 15-year-old daughters. What would they want? I know, a restaurant. What 13-year-old isn't like, oh, sorry, I can't go to the middle school dance this weekend. I got to do payroll.
You've got this all wrong. He's thinking, what do I want? A restaurant. And Giselle, that's the motivation. It has nothing to do with them. And they're such good sports because they know it has nothing to do with them.
Speaking of marriages, Karen and Ray.
Ray rules.
Oh, the Black Bill Gates.
Is that what she calls it? Or is that what he calls himself?
No.
I was going to ask, what is his profession?
Businessman who didn't pay taxes for several years and left them maybe penniless because of that. And she
attitude and what I saw is completely unwarranted.
Completely unwarranted. He won't say I love you. He just says okay.
He won't commit to saying he loves her. I think.
It's horrible.
Sad. Does he think he can do better? There's no way the equipment's working 100% at this time.
He tells us he needs a hurricane. The breeze isn't working anymore. He needs a hurricane.
Hurricane. It's like a nice gust. You know, a boat advisory warning is what he
needs. That's right.
Named Viagra.
That's right.
That's how I understand.
I think it's funny how he was so into the life coach session that they had. Not even a life coach, really. Just someone that hosts a radio station. He was so dismissive of therapy and a life coach when Karen brings it up initially. And then she brings in a radio host to, like, mediate a conversation between them. And he's just so open about everything.
She's a gorgeous radio host. And he doesn't want a therapist. He wants someone less qualified.
I have a bone to pick with Bravo. I am so tired of seeing quote-unquote life coaches like Dorinda's doctorate in life coach. That's not a thing. Therapists have to go through school. They have to take tests. They have to sign things. You and I could be a life coach. Like, life coach means nothing. So, yes, I think it's interesting that it's like, therapist, no. Life coach, still too legit. Podcaster. All right.
So, wait, who's the guy that I claimed was the worst one?
Michael. Ashley's husband, the setup, Michael.
Of them talking at her place with, like, the city backdrop and their chairs facing the camera just felt like a talk show, and it was very funny to me.
To where he says, in hindsight, I agree that I shouldn't have cheated on you.
Yeah, dude seems cool.
It weirds me out that he's like, well, now I know that I'm not going to cheat on you. Not that I don't want to, but he makes it very clear that he's not going to because he thinks he knows that it's wrong. But he's like, oh, no, I still really want to.
He's not going to outwardly because she's getting him to sign a post-prenuptial agreement where she gets more money if he cheats on her. Ashley is a genius. She's come so far. She had a hard time reading her prenup in season one. And now all of a sudden she's calling up some lawyers on her very own and getting some signatures done.
She had a baby. She doesn't take crap anymore.
So in 2018, Ashley signs the prenup that she gets 50% if she survives this marriage with this douchebag until 2023. She wants to sign a prenup where she's like, or a post-up, where she's like, yes, I need to get security for me and Dean. And not knowing about the prenup, I was like, yeah, get it. But it turns out she had a prenup. So she lasts till 2023 and then signs this post and then does, she's taking him for everything.
Good.
Team Ashley. I want Ashley out of there. I want her to take him for everything he's got. I hate this guy.
She's only 60% into this marriage. She's 40% out.
Is Michael the Jax?
Hard for me to say so far. I think, well, Jax would never
admit to cheating.
He would never admit to cheating or that he would like do it again. Jax would double down so hard for like years.
What I did love about that photo of Michael is it was so distinctly him, though you did not see his face at all. It's like, oh, I know that bald head and those little love handles. I can spot him anywhere.
Now we're going back in time to revisit Roni in our segment, Historic Housewives. We're at season one, and this week we rewatched episodes 1 through 3. How lovely is it to be back in 2008, a simpler time?
Oh.
That's right. So many innocent Trump references.
So many. Oh, yeah. They like name drop before we knew what would have been.
Yes. They all love Ivana. This is the second time I've watched these 3 episodes in a matter of months because I just started the show. So, but hey, it holds up.
It does hold up. I have to say the weirdest thing, and I kept having this feeling while I was watching these 3 episodes, the first 3 of season one, and I was like, what is this? And I realized we are seeing the women that we have known, you know, now and all of their sloppy glory.
Single, ready to mingle now.
But we are watching them in their prime. This is the moment. Mm. Little do they know that they will be looking back at Luann, still technically a countess. Ramona's married to Mario. Avery, her best friend, living with her. There are so many. This is the life that they hold on to. And it's so sad because we, as the viewer, know that it is about to slip through their little Manhattan fingers. I was impressed with how remarkably consistent Ramona has been all these years. I love to see that Ramona is still me-tooing staff in 2008.
Right out of the gate is lying about inviting people to a cooking class.
I know.
She's lied ever since.
She is the perfect one to open the show with, yeah, I think. She really sets the tone. I think the rest
Bangs
of them, if you
and
open
big
with
eyes.
Them... could be sort of alienating, but not her. You're welcomed into the world with her. She's all over the place. She encompasses a lot of like what drama comes out of a housewife show. Yes, like she has all of it. You're immediately entered into the world.
I love that in the first 3 episodes, we get 3 fights with Mario in public where she sees somebody, she's fighting with her husband, anybody who's around her, she's grabbing and pulling them into their domestic. It's so cringe. And like, he's taking off his ring. I mean, you can see it all coming. It's just so like, it's so sad. And she's has this facade of being so happy.
Oh, he's a horn dog in these first three.
So is she, her tennis instructor that took their shirts off. But as she says, jealousy shows that I care. And that is truly what kept that marriage going for the next few years.
That's Ramona right. needs a life coach, am I right?
A Reiki. What are your thoughts on Avery here? Because
I feel bad for Avery. They treat her like the parent.
I hate her from the beginning. I know it's wrong to hate a middle schooler, but
she's so performatively an adult, which is like a type I've always hated.
It's because she was forced into that role because her parents are children. Ramona takes a shirt that she's not allowed to wear. And put
But Avery has those lines like, "Oh, we got a lesbo in the house," and during like the whole pool like fight sequence where Avery's like, "Oh, you two need to stop." I hated that so much
with her like weird glasses that are clearly not hers. The pool fight scene, gross. I also like that it escalated from you dance like a stripper. At least I don't take off my clothes, pushing people in the pool. To it ends with, "I'm gonna drown your dog."
Amazing.
Okay.
I just love that Ramona didn't like her nude stripping being brought up on camera to where now she just poops her pants everywhere and no one says anything.
Yeah, a weird line. Yeah, a weird line to drop. And to compare between Housewives Now and Housewives Then, the editing is it's so different, I think.
It's insane,
I think,
yes.
Because, well, it reminded me a lot of the Monique running sequence. There's a lot of lingering. There's a lot of letting scenes play out, not so much like frantic editing and music. Mm-hmm. Unless we're dealing with Alex and Simon, where there it's like you're watching this bizarre comedy about a couple grifters. Accompanied by like this circus music every time they're on screen. Like a boop, 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 boop. They're just the most insane duo I've ever seen in a show.
Alex and Simon, I was trying to narrow it down to a couple favorite moments, and it just wasn't going to happen for me. There are so many gems in just the first three episodes with Alex
and
Simon.
The shopping trip. Favorite moment.
The shopping trip. their explanation of why they live in Brooklyn.
Immediately the outsiders, all these Upper East Siders, and then it cuts to them with a boop, 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 Brooklyn.
Look at these ding-dongs trying to fit in. But it's so true. Like, and I would have loved it if they were like, yeah, we're this couple. We're trying to make it in this this social setting, and we just don't cut it. So we're trying to work our way up. No, they don't do that. They're like, social climbing who? No, we're better than these people. And they double down at every
chance. They're buying what they're selling. I have mad respect for that.
Oh, yeah. Same. They're in their own world.
And I thought it was so sweet when Jill's like, I met them for the first time and they seemed quite nervous to be around me.
The interesting thing between Mario and Ramona and Alex and Simon is like Mario and Ramona have it all, quote unquote, but they are so fake where Alex and Simon are fake. But I think, like Julia said, they love each other. They love themselves. They're like,
they're obsessed with each other.
Oh, obsessed.
We spend two whole episodes with them where it's just them together.
In
they don't interact with any other cast members. No. They're on their own little vacation. They don't go to the Hamptons because that's...
Akin to being at work.
It's just networking going to the Hamptons.
I like when they said, we go to St. Bart's because it's the most European of the Caribbean islands. I'm like, yes, colonization. Everybody's favorite.
Well, they need to show off their French.
Yes. Say oh my gosh. Apple. A la Francais. Apple.
Applesauce. That Francois, their child, who they're trying to teach French, won't even say his own name when it's presented to him to read. That's how much he doesn't want to speak French.
I love when they're like, oh, we don't know if we're going to start Francois on the violin this year or next. Right after we watched Francois, they're like, what's this on your backpack? And he's like, I don't know. And it's his name. He can't read his name. And you're like, yeah, but he can read music. We're down for that. It's insane.
whenever I hear good dialogue, you know, I want to, you know, save it to inspire me. This was right, what
I'm,
Simon
I'm
said.
I'm dramatic reading.
It's almost as gorgeous as you. And then she says, it's almost as gorgeous as the boys and you. And then he says, and us. And that's just like the perfect like embodiment of how they just operate. Just constant verbalizing of like how great everything is, how much they love
each
other.
How in love. They gotta be into some freaky stuff. You know they are. You see them and it's, you know it's weird. That so poor au pair is traumatized.
They almost fuck at that show they go to. The modeling show.
The massaging. And who is it? Like Jill is like, oh my God, what is happening? It is so... Do they watch it back now? And do they cringe? Or are they like...
Well, we're going to get to the reunion. But Alex, I think, is definitely taken aback by what she saw. Because, I mean, she still doubles down on not being a social climber, but everyone else is like, you watched it, like, and she tries to blame it on the edit. So I think that they're still in their world, but they're a little more aware now.
I kind of like that. So I googled where they got their wealth from, and it was confusing. So Van Camp is like a name, but I couldn't find any money associated to it, and I'm pretty sure she either comes from gas or oil. So they have some family money, but not like the other women at all.
So even Simon's not from money?
I don't... He's a manager at a hotel.
A luxury hotel.
A luxury... Yeah, okay,
we're introduced to Simon in this, like, Royal Tenenbaum shot of, like, him on the roof overlooking Brooklyn. Right? And then we find out what he does, and he's basically, like, Ray Fiennes from Grand Budapest Hotel. He's just, like, a Wes Anderson character. What are your thoughts on the constant references to the gay husband? God, one of my biggest pet peeves of all time. Just the pigeonholing of a friend of yours who's gay.
Yeah, the guy who's only...
It's very of the time, though. Straight woman who has the gay friend.
And that's the personality trait.
She has a gay friend. Jill can afford it all.
Which is now, like, rightly made fun of. But at the time, it's like everyone just accepts that, oh, this guy's just her gay best friend who does all her shopping for her. No, I had no idea what he did.
He wears pink cowboy hats, and he's rude at... trunk openings. That's like his two things.
We're hopping into Jill now, which is a whole whole messy subject. Which relationship do you like more, the Ramona and Avery relationship or the Jill and Allison?
I like anybody
and
Allison.
Allison is more genuine.
I love Bobby and Allison.
Jill and Allison.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. I think they like truly love each other. I think they're super good friends. I love it when Jill gets like totally upset that Allison has taken over the gay husband to go shopping. It's just so good.
So Jill says, 21
pounds in 21 days? Isn't that what Teddy was fired for?
Yeah.
Like, sending Allison to a fat camp when she's like a mere child.
Eating disorder camp. Yeah. That's how Allison was Teddy all in first client.
And then she comes back and she's like, it's my old daughter. She's back. A new person.
Yeah. I like their relationship. I think it's really genuine. What does bum me out is how, like, I understand she wants Bobby and Allison to be friends, but Bobby and Allison are both looking at each other like, girl, it's not going to happen. All right, like, I don't want
to
go to Staples with her.
My mom wanted you to see my clothes that I bought. Okay.
Like, it'll make your mom happy. Show me your clothes.
I think in the first three episodes, I don't like their relationship, but I know we see more.
Why?
Well, just the whole detox, every like encounter in the first couple episodes is her being like them talking about the detox center. Now she's not
that
like her, not like she like doesn't recognize the daughter she's seeing before her basically in those first couple episodes. So it's pretty weird.
It did make me sad that Allison's like, I want to go to lose weight, where she's not overweight. She's a teenage girl. And then she comes back and I'm sorry, looks exactly the same.
Yes.
And Jill's oh my gosh, my daughter, where is she? And even Bobby's like, yeah, she's so skinny now. And like, you can tell that really makes Allison
happy.
There's
a lot of weird implications thrown at Allison in the first three episodes. When she meets Veronica, is that Luann's daughter? Victoria?
Yeah, Victoria.
Victoria. And one of the things that they like shows them like meeting for the first time. And one of the first things Victoria says to her is like, what, do you like play sports? Like, what does that mean? What I'm going to bring to this podcast is what everyone wants. The straight white guy perspective and me just drooling over Luann. The Countess Luann. can touch this Miranda.
Oh, we love him. Oh,
yes. I've said it. I say it all the time. It pains me to say it because I've said it so much.
The Count and Countess are all about the polo and the flip collared polo. They are flipping the collars.
It's very well. That's like, that's what a count does. Count Dracula flipped his collar.
Yes, exactly.
Do we have any final thoughts on Historic Housewives, Roni, episodes 1 through 3?
It's peak television. Let me tell you.
It's the golden age. And I'm so excited to get into episodes 4 through 7 next week. And now we're moving on to everybody's favorite segment, Miranda Pump Rules.
Brittany's a mom and Jax is a dad. I bet Tom Sandoval is mad. Cause Ariana will never do that. Did you see that post she made on Instagram? Ooh, she bad. So, as we all know, this segment's called Miranda Pump Rules. Correct? We all know this. It's a very popular segment of a long-running show. This week, however, Miranda Bump Rules. That's right. It's baby season. Jax and Brittany had a gender reveal party. Started a whole new fire in SoCal. then it's a boy. And Jax even got a little shirt, a little number one guy in this group shirt for the baby. Insane. Stassi's having a kid. Lala's having a kid.
Stassi's having a girl, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And her announcement, as we all know, coincided with her being canceled, basically.
Yeah.
But Ariana, as referenced in this week's pre-recorded theme, made a post of, in response to the pregnancy news. Well, she says it's not in response to that, but she posted a pic of her with her stomach like protruding out.
Oh, she ate a burger.
She said she ate Del Taco.
Oh, even better.
There's a big backlash against her. Apparently she had to respond and be like, I'm not shading anyone, but I think she clearly was. And that's why Ariana is the number one girl in the group. If you ask me,
she's going to be the last one standing because they're all being fired.
That's right. Jax will never leave, but Sir just reopened as of this week.
Do any of them work there?
Well, Peter's still there, obviously.
Yeah, and the new cast members we're going to get will work there.
Wow. But yeah, the Toms are running their restaurant, really, 5% of it or whatever they have.
And they reinvested all 5% into the gardens at Tom Tom, so.
Yes. Good move, Lisa, convincing them to do that.
Yeah, she didn't want to pay him. She didn't want the check to bounce.
But not a huge week for Vanderpump. Maybe that's just my own bias. I don't really care about Jax and Brittany having a kid. Other than how it could go one of two ways. This is either going to make Jax more boring. I'd like to get your input on this. Mm-hmm. Or make him somehow even funnier being a dad.
I think he's going to be even funnier, but I think he's going to have to be like a quick before commercial segment because none of the new cast members will have a kid. It's just going to be him and Brittany by themselves doing like a potty training bit or a...
Well, then Lala and Randall are going to also have a child.
They will, but they're going to have to helicopter in for all of their child segments because they do not live in the valley.
I think it's going to be a lot of Jax being mad at Brittany for not losing the baby weight. Jax being mad at the baby doing baby stuff like pooping all over himself and crying in the middle of the night. I think it's going to be peak Jax doing problematic things. And I'm excited. I'm ready.
He's going to be so on his high horse about like not smoking weed anymore, probably.
About like being sober around the baby.
Yes, and then it's all gonna come to like this head where he's just gonna collapse. I get the baby is giving me faith in this next season,
our future?
In the future of Vanderpump, because I was not looking forward to it honestly. But Jax being a dad is probably gonna be pretty entertaining, and as far as the rest of the cast goes, I don't know. I mean, I like Tom and Ariana, but like, how entertaining really can they be? Like on their own, like they need like people to work against. They need furniture, apparently.
Oh my gosh.
All right, and that concludes.
I loved it.
Miranda Pump rules.
All right, now our final segment of the show where we hand out awards to our Bravo celebrities. Julia, are you ready to give this week's award?
Yes, I am going to give Candace of Potomac the Countess Cornhusk Award for the fact that no one seems to blame Candace for a thing for her fight with Monique. Just like the Countess at the restaurant this last season.
The pasta throwing restaurant.
Yes. Pasta at Ramona. And to sage the place, Luann, the Countess, then lit the corn husk on fire and saged it. And no one said a thing. And maybe it's because I'm from California and we are constantly ablaze, but I take fire starting very seriously. But
she lit a centerpiece on fire and it was never talked about, ever.
The table decor was aflamed and no one said anything. No blame was put on Luann. And the same went to Candace. Candace cut Monique's lip, but Monique is to blame. Therefore, Candace gets the Countess Cornhusk Award.
Congrats, Candace. That is a coveted award from a Countess fan over here.
How to get away with near murder.
All right, Alex, who does your award go to this week?
All right, well, my award is the Detective Doty Award, named after Kristen Doty, the now canceled former member of Vanderpump Rules, and her detective work on that show. She was always trying to find whatever girl Tom Sandoval had hooked up with. Just great, great investigative prowess. The Detective Doty Award goes to Kyle Richards of Beverly Hills for her detective work. She saw an Instagram post by Diane Keaton from July 2019, from when Diane Keaton visited a psychic. And it's this photo of the psychic's hands. And Kyle identified a ring that had been stolen from her in 2018 on the hand of this psychic.
Oh, absurd, absurd.
But there's a twist. I have to revoke my award. Because
what? Another ring? The award you just gave?
It's gone. Snatching it out of Kyle's hands.
Okay.
Turns out this gets bizarre. The hand belongs to a pharmacist named Diane French, who Keaton apparently took a photo of this pharmacist hands while at a pharmacy. And she has
both named Diane?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, I'm not following.
So, and she has proof through appraisals from like 1980 that this is like a ring she's had in her family like forever. And she's demanding that Diane Keaton, Kyle Richards apologize to her publicly for the lie that like Diane Keaton said she's a psychic, and for Kyle Richards like saying that she stole this from her house. And this was revealed through someone of a famous, maybe not famous, but a teen on TikTok identified the hands as her grandmother's hands. That's how this has got her attention.
TikTok for the win, the Gen Z.
2020, the TikTok teens have been performing miracles, and this is just one. And I can't believe that a woman who we don't know the name of or the profession until just recently is demanding an apology.
Her name's Diane French, though.
Oh, great, yeah, name. Diane French.
Wow.
The
French version,
Diane Keaton. But it just opens up. The case is open and it's taking a turn. Like, why did Diane Keaton take a photo of this pharmacist's hands and claim it was a psychic? A whole new investigation's taking place by me. I'm the detective on the case now. And now the award goes to me. I get the Detective Doty Award for starting the case on my own.
So it wasn't Kyle's ring?
No.
Supposedly.
Unless this Diane French is just bald-faced lying about this appraisal and her career. I don't know.
That is absurd.
Well, so I am the recipient this week of my own award.
Oh, congratulations, Alex, on your first Detective award. All right. This week, I would like to give the Denise Richard Bravo, Bravo, Bravo Award to Miss Monique of Potomac, because the rumor is, from this point forward, Monique will not be filming with any of the other ladies and will not be going on any group trips. That's the rumor. So she's calling a Denise.
No. Oh, I hope time this is tell. A rumor and not true. Wow. We time need will Monique. Tell.
Do we? Do we need Denise?
So sad. No, but wow. Potomac is different than Beverly Hills. I stood by her. Oh, I'm so disappointed.
All right. Well, thank you for joining me, Julia and Alex. It has been so wonderful. I look forward to seeing you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.